Welcome to The Bridge, your ERG podcast. Our mission is to connect people, purpose, and progress through topics that are relevant to every teammate. And now, this month's host, Catalyst.
Welcome back to The Bridge. The Catalyst crew here, and we are excited to engage in some fun conversation with a few female teammates to celebrate Women's History Month. I am Sydney Becker, a financial officer in the Mitchell office. Today, we have a few special guests with us. Krista Wilson, RVP of Lending in Eastern Iowa, Barb Weber, a financial officer in the Mitchell office, and Teresa Johnson, a customer experience specialist in our Sioux Falls office. We're excited to honor Women's History Month today and dive into a fun conversation on some history of women in the workplace. Before we dive into our discussion, I wanted to touch base on what Team Catalyst is and why this topic is so important to our group. Team Catalyst's mission is to foster opportunities to empower women and enrich their professional development. Since this mission is so important to us and it being Women's History Month, we really wanted to talk about how the history of women in the workplace has really evolved over the last few decades. All right, to get started, let's go around the table here and I will have each of you introduce yourselves, your role, how long you've been at Farm Credit, and then a little background on how your career and your roles have evolved over the years. So we will start with Teresa.
Hi, I am Teresa Johnson, a CX in the Sioux Falls, South Dakota office. And on April 3rd, I will be here with Farm Credit Services of America for 29 years. When I started 29 years ago, we were in a much smaller office here in town. And the funny part is I was hired as a lending specialist, which that job role consisted of three of us girls in the office. And we did all three job roles, customer service specialist, account specialist, and closers. So it's just funny how it has kind of gone back to where it was 29 years ago when I started in a roundabout way. And then we closed a few small offices, of course, and then a couple of those gals came to Sioux Falls. And so we all had to reapply for our jobs again. And I ended up in the customer service coordinator role, which then became customer service specialist, which is now a CX role. So I've had many different role opportunities. And to apply for that opportunity in the company, but I've always chosen to stay in the CSS role just because I love working with the customers, the walk-in customers, answering the phone, and all those small details.
That is very true. I've heard multiple people say that too, Teresa, where we've kind of evolved and sometimes we kind of take back different positions and structures that we've had in the past. So, which you see that all throughout the world, how even like fashion is coming back, how it was in the 90s and different things. So it's fun how we can see that we've done that even in our offices here. All right, Barb, we'll go to you.
Okay, well, yeah, so Barb Weber, I'm out of the Mitchell office. I've actually been with Farm Credit Services 32 years. It's been a great run. It's been quite an evolution of my job role. Started out, and I beg the pardon, I don't know if I remember exactly the titles of the names because we've had a lot of name changes of our roles and evolved too, which is awesome. I think my original title was administrative assistant. And as I recall in the day, you wore a beautiful jacket, blazer was the name, and usually a skirt, and you were properly attired. And then my job role evolved to a closing specialist. And I also was an appraisal assistant at that time. And then in 2004, I was moved. I applied for a financial officer job and I got that position. So I've been in that role since then. And it's been an evolution. I think that's probably the words I will use. There's been great opportunities, you know, internally. We've had the opportunity now to enjoy wearing jeans because our customers see us as being comfortable like them. So it's been a lot of unique and great opportunities here at Farm Credit Services of America.
Awesome. Thanks, Barb. Krista, how about you?
Sure. Krista Wilson. I'm really happy to be here today. I am RVP in Eastern Iowa, and I have been here, will be 23 years in May. So obviously a lot of tenure here on this call. With that, I started in 2001 as a backup CSS and started our crop insurance in the DeWitt office. We farm, so I'm not moving. So that's one of the things that has been really unique for me is the opportunities that I've been given here in this company without having to move. So started as a backup CSS, then went to financial specialist insurance specialist and worked up loans, worked on crop insurance. And then earlier in my career, about 7 years later, I became an Ag Plus officer, if anyone remembers what that was, when we worked on a lot of the part-time farmers and the quick and easy credits that we could move through, and then became a high GFI financial officer after that. So worked with a lot of complex credits, full-time farmers. And then in 2012, I became an insurance leader. So became an insurance leader and moved from the lending side to insurance, and did that until just recently, 2 years ago. I have had the privilege of being the RVP of lending in the Eastern Iowa region since December of 2022. So my career has really seen a lot of changes. And as we talked earlier, is if you are here long enough, what you see will probably come back full circle. So to that point, doesn't mean that any of it's right or wrong, just means that sometimes we have to change with the way that our needs in agriculture and our customers are changing.
Very well said. So, Krista, back to you. So as we celebrate Women's History Month, are there any women that come to your mind in this industry who have been you have been inspired or influenced by for your career?
It's not necessarily industry related, but my mom has been a significant influence to me. My mom was a farmer's wife, but she also worked off the farm. And so with that, my mom was a great example of how you have to try to balance a lot of those needs. You don't always eat supper at 5:30, and you also don't always maybe make it to the ball game on time because you have requirements from your job and you have requirements at home. And then she also had requirements on the farm. As a dairy, when I was growing up, the cows came first, right? So I think that was really an influence that my mom had put into us. But it was really more around, for me, I believe, and my mom taught me that leaders are not born. They're made. And if you put the work in and you put your mind to it, you can do whatever is needed. So I have two brothers and a sister, and the girls went outside and the boys did housework. So if you think about that, that was pretty influential for us. But my mom was always really a coach for us. She tried to lead by example, but there were a lot of the things that she said, don't do what I'm doing. And that was really influential. And then maybe not industry related, but I've always been a very strong follower of coaches. And so if I think about two coaches that have been really influential that I follow, was Pat Summitt with the University of Tennessee, and then now Kara Lawson with the University of Duke. If you listen to a lot of their commentary, it's really, you can apply it to our industry very, very significantly. So those are probably some of the influential women that I have had in my life to help me get to where I am today.
Wonderful. Thanks, Krista. Barb, any woman in your industry or outside of your industry even that have influenced your career?
You know, the people that I think of, the women that I think of that I would consider, I would try to model the way, I have Ann Finkner, which, you know, I look at her as a very strong person who was influential from the point of showing that women can be leaders, especially at Farm Credit Service America. She was on the leadership team, you know, many, many years ago, one of the few, obviously, and now we've expanded that and we have more women on there. So as you consider the things that she's taken on and the roles she's had, and when you've ever heard her at, and when she would speak to Farm Credit Services America, to the employees, she was very strong, very positive, very polished. She really was, she's a very eloquent speaker. And I think it's easy to listen and draw into her and the expression she had and the face she had in Farm Credit Services America. So I looked up to that. And the other person that I kind of looked up to too would be actually Betty Van Bonen from Nebraska. I was on a team with her and really formed a connection. And she was by trade was a teacher and then came to Farm Credit and was a financial officer. And she was very much I enjoyed her vision of wanting to help agriculture and her passion for agriculture. And it really made me, you know, step back and look at myself and realize I need to have that kind of passion. I always thought I did, but when you see it from others, you know, sometimes you take a step back and say, am I putting, you know, 100% or 110% and that made me focus on that and realize, you know, that it's worth your time and effort. Your customers, they're always worth your time and effort, but definitely they were two really good influences.
Awesome. I'm sure a few people listening will probably remember those names and think the same as well. Teresa, how about you?
Yeah, it's kind of a repeat a little bit of what Barb and Krista have said, but my biggest influence was probably my own mother also. She raised myself and six other siblings on the farm, and obviously my dad was there too, and I watched her be a mother, a wife, from sunup to sundown. We milked cows, along with keeping the books for the farm, and I just remember when she would have papers all over that dining room table with seven kids running around. It's like, don't touch these piles, you know? I mean, she was an accounting, and maybe that's where I get this from. I love the cash management side of this job, you know? So she was just a huge influence on me, how she kept track of everything going on with seven kids and trying to keep us all where we needed to go. And then she sewed all of our clothes. I mean, we didn't very seldom get to go buy clothes. Mom, you went and picked out material and you sewed, and mom taught you how to sew. She was probably my biggest influence. But, you know, if I look at farm credit, I would say between Ann Finkner, because she was high on my list also. I worked right beside Lori Nelson here until she retired just a couple years ago. And, you know, Lori's dedication, drive, and work ethic all her years here with Farm Credit, they just really paved my way to learn from her. And, you know, her dedication was just amazing. And I think that's why I feel I'm dedicated. You know, I love this job. I love this, you know, this company is great to us. And they really do look out for the women now. I mean, 29 years ago, yeah, you know, there weren't as many women that high up. But, you know, after about first 4 years, then things really just started to change. And the industry has just really changed. And the importance and dedication to our customers is amazing.
Wonderful. Yeah, there's definitely some empowering and encouraging women here. And to note that moms are definitely some superheroes. Let's go back to Barb. How do you approach a work-life balance, and what advice would you offer to women who are navigating the demands of both career and personal life right now?
That's really a great question. I really had to reflect on that. I think sometimes we don't think about that enough, but as I started thinking about it, my first thought would be is, you know, do we have to, first of all, have we set our priorities, right? And then once we've kind of set our priorities, maybe that next step is then, it's very important for you to find time for yourself, for your own well-being. And one thing that I have learned, and probably haven't done it as well as I could or should, is it's okay to ask for help. I think, you know, when my kids were little and I, you know, you try to do everything yourself, I think your pride gets in the way of realizing it's okay to take a step back and, you know, ask for help, or if someone offers help, to take it. So if there's anything I could pass on to anyone out there listening is, you know, it's okay to, you don't have to do everything. And whether it be your partner, your spouse, they're there to help you, and let them help you. It'll keep you more balanced in the end.
I would agree. As a young mom myself, that's good advice. And sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow, like letting your husband or your kid do something or help you, because they're not going to do it the way you do it, but it's going to get done, and it's stress off your plate. And it's good to remember that sometimes. Teresa, how about you?
I feel very fortunate to work for a company with great family values that supports a healthy work-life balance. Family is always first, and FCSA supports its employees so well through all the stages of life. As a mother and now a grandmother, I love the flexibility of vacation days, work from home days, the days you need to sneak out early to attend an activity or pick my grandkids up from daycare because their mom and dad are busy. Having the flexibility supports positive work-life balance, and we all need that. My advice to other women to meet the demands of home and work life would always be to remember family is first, and to know that FCSA is like another family here to support and help you in your life and work.
Totally agree. Krista, what about you?
Yeah, so I probably took a little bit different approach, but I've really learned to be in the moment and be present. And so if I'm at work, I need to be in the moment and present at work and spend my time focused there. And when I'm at home, I need to do the same. So being present at my kids' activities, being present at the dinner table, whatever that is, putting your phone away, making sure that you're actually in the moment with whoever it is, whether it's the team or whether it's at home. I think that's really, really important, and to have very specialized time for that. On top of that, you don't have to be perfect. I think sometimes we want to be perfect, and it's not about being perfect. It's about the care and the affection and how you're actually committed to your home life as well as your work life. And then finally, to really approach that work-life balance really well is know what to say no to. You don't have to say yes to everything. Because if you say yes and you don't put the time and energy into it and you're not fully into whatever that activity is, you haven't given it your all, right? So you're better off saying no and having somebody else give it their all and then finding the right thing that's for you at that point in time. So it's not about everything, it's about the right thing.
Great words of encouragement there. I like that. Teresa, back to you. So throughout your career, have you witnessed a shift in attitudes or policies that have positively impacted women's advancement in our industry?
This one I had to really think about for a while. So throughout my 29 years here, I have seen firsthand the growth and shift in attitudes and policies towards females in the workplace. I look back and I think 25 years ago, I don't think we would find that many female financial officers or in the crop insurance department, you know, working those areas. Now we're blessed with many strong females in those roles and in leadership positions in the company. Another area of growth for females that I think is amazing is Farm Credit has given the working mothers a wellness room, you know, someplace where they can go, have a little privacy to do their new mother thing, and also given maternity leave to those new mothers compared to what other companies have. I think Farm Credit Services of America really has expanded that for the women and now for the men, you know, for the new dads. It's totally amazing.
I would agree. And that's even changed in the couple years that I've been here. When I gave birth to my son, I hadn't worked here a year, so I didn't get any paid leave off now. But now that's not the case. You could start and a couple months later, have your baby and still have that paid leave, which is really crucial and really just takes a lot of burden off a new mom. Yeah. Krista, what about you?
Yeah, so mine's probably more around the attitudes of women. As I think about 20 years ago, there was a time where it was women maybe not working together to help the others succeed. It was more of a time where, oh, I don't want you to get that job because then that messes up what we have here. Or if you get that job, what's that mean? So I think there's really been a shift in attitude of how women help each other. It's really that encouragement, that inspiration to help people find their career path and then help getting them there. So it's really about what we can do from a mentor standpoint, as well as that encouragement. And I do feel like our attitudes have really shifted around that to not be butting heads as women, but more of how do we help each other get the leadership role, the financial officer role, the insurance officer role, whatever that might be. I also think that we as women have taken a different stance in preparation for these roles. So a lot of times it's been thought of the tap on the shoulder is what's gotten people those roles. I believe that now it's really about knowing what your career path is. How do you prepare for that career path? How do you put the right people and network in place to do that? And all of that is part of your self-development, where 20 years ago, we worried about getting interest rate conversions done and getting the work done versus taking some time for your development path and self-development. And I think we've spent a lot of time and energy on that, which has helped people determine what that looks like for them going forward and the path to get there. So,
totally agree. I think our associations do a really good job at that and just giving really good opportunities for us to grow if you want to grow and just putting things in place for us to get us there. Barb, what about you?
You know, I will piggyback a little bit off of what Christy made a comment of 20 years ago, because 20 years ago, when I actually got my financial officer role, 2004 was the same year that Rachel Melhoff got her financial officer role. And we were the only two female financial officers in South Dakota. And you really felt, I don't want to say singled out, but it was, at first it was a challenge. It was, you felt kind of on an island. And that whole mindset has changed 360 degrees. If we look at our office here in Mitchell, we now have a total of 7 financial officers. There's 3 females and there's 4 males. So, you know, the dynamics have changed. The open communications have become more, you know, we work as a team. We, you know, we blend together. We're all the same team. We're all on the same, you know, we're all in that same work effort. And I think if you put that effort and show that you are here to do the job, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. But it has definitely changed from 20 years ago to today. Farm Credit Services of America has truly made leaps and bounds in opening doors, I think, for females. And again, it's just a matter of if you want to take that leap of faith or if you feel that's the direction you want to go, it's there. You know, have faith in what you can do.
Agreed. And I think even as an agriculture industry in general, I feel like that's probably changed over the last 20 years too. I feel like there's female agronomists, female veterinarians, like way more, and the producers are a lot more comfortable with having females on their farm and giving them advice and instruction too. Barb, back to you on this next question. So looking ahead, what do you believe are the most significant opportunities and challenges for women in this field? And how can the industry continue to progress towards gender equality?
That's a really tough question. I really had to think on that a while. And, you know, as you just mentioned, there's been significant growth in, lack of a better word, gender equality. And I think if you would have talked to the older generation 20 years ago, that mindset was different, that the expectation is that probably was a male. Now there, that expectation is no longer there. It can be male or female. It doesn't matter. And I think that broader view, I mean, as a state of mind, I think we've all evolved and there's not a bias anymore. I think that bias has kind of been put aside. If you can walk the walk and talk the talk, you know what? I'm going to work with you. You know what you're doing. It's just proving yourself to that producer, that coworker, you know, whoever it is that you can do the job that's needed. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female. So I think it has changed. Then that other part of it goes, you know, what do we need to do to continue the progress? It's an evolution. I really truly feel it goes back to the word, it's an evolution. And I think it's evolved to that point of, people have looked past that. I really truly feel for 99% of those folks out there, they're past that because, again, as long as you can prove you can do the job that they're asking you to do, it doesn't matter.
Krista, what about you?
Yeah, so I took it from the opportunity perspective and I broke it down a little bit, but my first one is agriculture is continuing to change. And our opportunity is to change with agriculture, but also understand it and make sure that you are learning all the time from an agriculture perspective, but also from a producer perspective and just an economy perspective. So I think it's really about understanding, to Barb's word, evolution and the change that's happening, and then being able to adapt with that. Secondly is be an expert on the business side for our producers. So it's really how do you continue to up your game? If you're the expert, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, any of those kind of things. It's really about the possibility that you have to help that producer succeed. And then thirdly is provide value. If you can provide value, again, from a succession standpoint, but being different is okay. So when you do bring a different idea to that producer, or you're maybe challenging them in a certain way to think outside the box or think differently, that's okay. But what's your value? What are you bringing that no one else is going to bring to the table that makes them want to do business with you and respect you and make sure that you're a part of their farm team?
Teresa.
Yeah, I I'm thinking the biggest challenge for females in this industry is getting the trust and the confidence of our customers. In a primarily dominant male customer clientele, there can be some bias or lack of confidence from them on the female history and knowledge of farming. We may have to work twice as hard to build a trusting relationship and have our customers believe in our work for them, knowing that a female FO, crop insurance, whatever position they hold with Farm Credit is just as knowledgeable as a male. There are some customers that go, oh, I have a female financial officer, or, you know, it's just, it's really building trust, because most of the time it's the husband walking in the door or making most of the decisions. I don't know. I know women, the wives make the decisions too, but I just think you have to win over that guy, knowing that this gal can do it too.
So. Yeah. I think that ties in well to what both Krista and Barb said. It's, you know, prove yourself and get to know like your industry knowledge and your business knowledge and just show that to them. And that leads to easily being able to be trusted. All right, we are going to run into the fun part of the podcast, so the rapid fire questions. So we are going to have Krista answer first, then Teresa, and then Barb. So you can answer with one word quick, or if you want a little explanation behind your answer, feel free to do that too. So we'll get started. What is your favorite breakfast food?
Egg waffle.
French toast and bacon.
Got to be buttermilk pancakes.
Nice. All right. Do you watch your shows one episode at a time, or do you binge a whole season at a time?
One episode at a time.
One episode at a time.
One episode at a time.
I wonder if this is generational, because I like to binge a whole season at one time. I don't have time to wait. Oh, funny. Okay. If you could not work in this industry, what profession would you pursue?
I'd be an accountant.
I thought about this for a while, but I think I would be a teacher, just because I did a lot of training here at Farm Credit as a CSS. I was out from office to office training new CSSs, and I really did enjoy that role.
I would be a home mortgager. I really enjoy meeting people, helping them find their dream. So that's what I would like to do, I think. Would have done. I like this better.
All right. And our podcast ponder question for today is, what is your favorite board game or card game?
For me, I used to be a Euchre fan, but it's turned into Pitch just because it's a little more challenging.
I love to play cards, but my favorite card game is 500.
I'm a card person also, and we play Pinochle. That would be, in order to marry into the family, you had to play Pinochle. So.
Oh, funny. Well, thanks to each of you gals for joining us today in an engaging conversation. And thanks to all of you for joining us today on The Bridge. We hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. Catalyst has some awesome opportunities for empowerment and to help advance in your professional development for the upcoming year. We have our yearly mentor programs that you can sign up to be either a mentor or mentee. We offer book clubs and circles that foster great conversation and connections with other teammates, and are also working on a cohort for some more in-depth professional development. So keep an eye out for top stories and Viva Engage posts from us to get signed up for our many upcoming opportunities in 2024. Don't forget to comment the answer to our podcast ponder question on Viva Engage for a chance to win some Catalyst swag. Come back next month to hear from our friends in Patriot. On behalf of Catalyst, thanks for listening, and go out and celebrate some of the amazing women in your life this month.